Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Features Podcast for Gaming Insurrection, second quarter, 2011. We are talking about Dreamcast fighting games, something both Jamie and I have a lot of experience with since we both own Dreamcast consoles before we met and after we met, actually. We actually still both had our Dreamcast, so... We discovered we had a common love of Dreamcast stuff and Dreamcast fighting games in general. So, I want to say what's up. Hello, Jamie.
Sure, you can. What's going on?
You have to be funny. This is Jamie Mosley, our associate editor, and also fighting game fanatic. You would say you play a lot of fighting games, right?
I played more fighting games than I played anything else. I mean, it wasn't until much later that I started getting into RPGs, but mostly if I played a video game, it was a fighting game. So, yeah, I will say that.
Yeah, I am too. I'm a big, big fighting game fan. And as a matter of fact, that was partially how we met, correct?
Yeah, it was at a tournament. I think I was working on a fighting game at the time. So, yeah, we kind of met through fighting games, I guess.
Yes. All of our friends who, actually, the two that set us up, are fighting game fanatics, and that's how I met them, was through tournaments. I would go to tournaments, and they would be there, and, you know, we'd hang out and talk about games, and, you know, I'd see them every so often, but you saw them more often than I did.
I live closer, so, yeah, I did see them more often, so...
Yeah. When I moved up to the area, I'd already known them for some time, and they were like, hey, you should come to this tournament, and you need to run the DDR machine for us. So I did, but it was after that after I got there that I met Jamie, and it was kind of rude. I think I was kind of rude. I wasn't trying to be rude. He said I was rude, but I was not trying to be rude. But shortly thereafter, we went on our first date and subsequently eloped. And we've been together ever since. And we played a lot of fighting games in the almost 7 years that we have been married. So, that's why we decided this quarter we're going to do our features podcast on Dreamcast fighting games. Because the Dreamcast... had a lot of fighting games that were worth buying and playing. This was the system for fighting games. I mean, Saturn had some stuff, and it had some good stuff, and they were pretty close to what you wanted to be playing, but Dreamcast had arcade perfect, and that's why I have, you know, the centerpiece main headline is arcade perfection. That's what it was. It was arcade perfect, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, even the Saturn had arcade perfect Capcom fighting games.
I mean, Capcom.
They had really good. But Dreamcast, yeah, if it was a fighting game, if it was an arcade, it was extremely close to arcade perfect when it came on the Dreamcast. So I would definitely say it had a perfect mix of arcade games on there.
Yeah. I know Saturn has some arcade perfect stuff, but Dreamcast was like the hallmark of arcade perfect.
That's because they had so many more arcade fighting games than the Saturn. The Saturn mainly had a lot of arcade perfect Capcom games.
And driving games.
And they had some good driving games. But the Dreamcast had more mixture. They had arcade perfect driving games such as Crazy Taxi. It was arcade perfect if you played the arcade version of it. Their fighting games that they had, no matter what was on the, who made it, it was on the system. If it was on a Dreamcast, then it was arcade perfect. Soul Calibur was the first one I can think of. They had a little differences in it, but timing-wise, it was exactly like the arcade. So even the combos you could do.
Yeah.
So
MVC2 was my first experience with the arcade perfect status. Because I really didn't play Soul Calibur. I couldn't get into Soul Calibur. As a matter of fact, I didn't even play Soul Calibur until... it was way after I got my system. Like, way after. And a friend of mine was like, here, you need to play Soul Calibur. I was like, what's a Soul Calibur? And then I played it and I was like, oh yeah, I remember this. I remember Soul Edge when it came home. I remember that when it came home for PlayStation. And I remember seeing an arcade cabinet of it when I was in college.
Soul Blade.
Yeah, I remember Soul Blade. And I remember seeing, because it was next to Tekken. And I didn't know at the time that Namco made both. So, made Soul Calibur and Tekken. I mean, I knew Tekken, but I didn't know, you know, Soul Calibur. So, it wasn't until, I'd say, maybe about a year after I got my Dreamcast. And I got my Dreamcast in, I got it on March 31st, 2001. It was right when they announced they were going to stop making it. I bought one, and my first game was Marvel vs. Capcom 2. And my actual first games were Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and Capcom vs. SNK and Crazy Taxi. I bought three games, a system, and like a VMU for $230. I spent up all my money for that I had made during spring break. I worked during spring break, and I, you know, made all kind of money because I worked the entire week. And so I saved up my money once I got paid, because I worked for the state of South Carolina at that point in time, because I worked for the University of South Carolina. And that meant I got paid on the 15th and 31st. 15th and 30th or 31st. So I went and bought my, I got paid the 30th. I went and bought my Dreamcast. So it was probably March 30th and not the 31st. But yeah, I still have records on Crazy Taxi from that date. So that's how I know that's when I bought it. But I bought it because I was like, okay, if I'm going to be going to video game tournaments for this, if I'm going to tournaments for MVC2, I need to have Arcade Perfect version at home. And I was told it was Arcade Perfect. So that's why I bought mine originally. When did you buy yours?
Let me think. I think shortly after it came out. I was over a friend of mine's house who ordered his. It had the Japanese version. So he ordered his. His came in at least a month before I got mine.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a Marvel vs. Capcom 2 / party for it, because we were just all trying to figure it out. Because we hadn't played in an arcade at that time when he got his.
Really?
Yeah. At the
it
time
was
he
already
got,
out.
At the time he got his, we hadn't played in an arcade yet.
MVC 2 came out February 14th.
It did.
In the arcade, February 14th, 2000.
It did. But each time we went to someone that had it, there was always a tournament, so we couldn't really play it.
Oh, I see.
So, at least I couldn't. So, we sat down, we messed around with it for hours, it seemed. I think we started our gathering around about 2, and I don't remember leaving until about 2 a.m. that morning.
That's about right.
So,
You talking about Ted, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Ted King? Yeah. What's up, Ted? Yeah, I've been to Ted's house, and we had the same kind of thing. It was like later that year, I want to say. Maybe it was, I take that back, it was July 2001. He had a gathering at his house, and there was lots to be played. There was a lot of MVC2 playing. We played it, myself and former contributing editor Marcus Barnes used to go out to Frankie's and play MVC2. Because he had a Dreamcast, but I did not. And the game came out, I remember it came out in June of 2000, because it came out shortly after it came out in the arcade, a couple months, give or take a couple months. And I didn't have a Dreamcast, so I wound up having to go out and play it in tournaments. And that's the only way I could actually practice. So I didn't wind up getting my Dreamcast until, you know, way after that. And, I was pretty happy with it. I was pretty pleased with it. I played the first Marvel vs. Capcom, not on Dreamcast, but on PlayStation, which is a different beast than the Dreamcast version. The Dreamcast version is arcade perfect almost. But the PlayStation version is completely different because you can, you don't have the swap out technique. You can't swap characters on the fly, which kind of changes the game. And you get unlimited, because you can't swap your characters, you get unlimited helper characters. So, I mean, that's kind of changing the game, but whatever. It's actually still fun. I love how the system was set up to help do that. And I'll play that version still, but I prefer the Dreamcast version once I got it. But, yeah, since we're on the subject of MVC2, we'll start out with MVC2. And we had a part of our feature for MVC2, because what I did was I and the rest of the staff wrote up little things about each game. And for MVC2, which we started with Marvel vs. Capcom, we started a thing that's a little sidebar that's, you know, from the mouths of fighters. Since both games utilized Marvel voices for the Marvel characters. And it's always funny. It was always a source of fun among myself and my video game playing friends that played versus games, to decipher what people were saying in the games, right?
Yeah. I mean, as someone who played a lot of fighting games, we always made up comments or phrases, not necessarily saying what that character that you're fighting against or on screen is saying, but something that sounds very similar to it. Like Hulk. Obviously, Hulk is saying Gamma Crush or Gamma Charge.
Yeah, he says Gamma Charge, yeah.
But at the same time, when he said Gamma Charge, we used to say things like, Demi's hot. So, because he always said it twice. He always said, Gamma Charge.
Well, you know, now in MVC3, it really does sound like Gamma Charge. It actually comes out clearer as Gamma Charge, one more.
Well, he does say one more, though.
Yeah, he does actually say one more.
And then Cyclops was the other one when he does his gene splice, which... which it took us forever before we realized that's exactly what he's saying, gene splice. And we always said that he said, Jesus Christ. So,
come on.
But yeah, that's those are the things that we always came up with. Mortal Kombat usually had us saying the most hilarious ones where we're laughing the most, like particularly on Mortal Kombat 4, where they do throws, and Reptile's the main one come to mind. Where he drops the person down to his knees and he grabs him by the neck. And it sounds like he says, and because he probably is, but it sounds like he says, I want your money. Right before he snaps your neck.
So, but yeah, I'm bugging.
Those are some of the things that we came up with. I mean, that made the game more interesting, of course.
Yes.
Let us laugh all the time. So, that's one of the things I loved about fighting games, you know, just trying to figure out. Well, one, we already figured out what they said, but
yeah,
we always came up with other things. Like, you would say, Shinku Takimaki Senpu Yaku. And we knew that's what he was saying, but sometimes we listen to it and it hears, I've not had food yet. I mean, which doesn't sound like the same thing, but when you put it in a game where things are going on at the same time, it does sound very similar.
Yes.
So.
Yes. I loved how people would just, like, screw up. And I thought we were the only ones that did that in Colombia, but apparently everybody does that.
It's worldwide.
Like, everybody does that. So, like, we came up with, from MVC2, I'd heard Cammy, definitely. I'd heard Destro. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and say this: the language to follow is probably not appropriate for children. So, you know, just in case kids are listening, you know, cover your ears, because I don't really want to have to explain why. I don't want your mom and daddy to have to explain why. You know. Oh, that lady from Gaming Insurrection said that bad word or whatever. But anyway, Cammy says, we heard destroy fuckers. She's actually saying, oh, and Detroit Knockers. Somebody else told me Ted was the one that said Detroit Knockers. But we clearly heard Detroit Fuckers. I mean, seriously, like, I was sitting in the arcade in a sit-down cabinet, one of those special sit-down cabinets with the fancy screens and stuff.
It's a tournament cabinet.
Is that considered tournament cabinet? Well, we had one at Frankie's Fun Park in Columbia, and we would sit in that thing, and it had surround sound speakers, which was awesome. But I was like, what did she just say? And my friend Elgin, who I just saw recently, I won't say recently, probably like last year, I hadn't seen him in a very long time. He and I used to play MVC2 together all the time, years ago, and he also, we would make up stuff, and he too heard Destroy Fires, because I turned to him, I was like, did she just say what I thought she said? And he was like, probably not, but that sounded a lot like it. She's actually saying Spin Drive Smasher. And the way, I guess I should throw in this too, the way we figured out some of this stuff is from repeated listening. I mean, you really have to be sitting there and paying attention and listening to what they're saying. And you can kind of figure out what it is based on the move. Such as if you play Cammy in earlier games, such as Street Fighter Alpha 3, which is also on our list, here for fighting games, she says Spin Drive Smasher. It's very obvious there. But here it's really not that clear. I don't know what's going on with the voice samples for MVC2 and MVC. But yeah, it's not very clear. So you could kind of make up some of this stuff. So also Iceman, I had heard Ice Cream instead of Ice Beam. Also, the way we confirm some of this stuff is we finally got a hold of the voice files for MVC and MVC2. I managed to track them down after years of searching online. I found them, and I have them downloaded and saved in like 4 different places because somebody ripped them for Mugen. If you play Mugen at all. So, I have them saved somewhere, and, I listen to the voice files, and we're gonna get to War Machine because he's a special case, which is how I figured out his stuff. But Cyclops, you've already heard say Jesus Christ, because he jumps out. When he jumps out, he just comes out and does gene splice, and then he jumps out and he says, "Come on." But I thought it was hilarious because it sounds like he says, "Jesus Christ, come on," and then he jumps off screen.
Yeah, as a helper he does, but I remember the first time we figured out, I only remember if it might have been Children of Adam, because she could make him do gene splice, which is just uppercut. And you can make him do that, then he'll say gene, and he'll keep hitting the person, and he'll say splice at the end. Mm-hmm. And then you see the light beam go off. Well, one particular thing, this is probably when we actually came up saying it, I was watching Ted play. I want to say I was watching Ted play Children of Adam. It might have been X-Men versus Street Fighter. Actually, I think it was X-Men versus Street Fighter because I think he was playing with Storm. Mm-hmm. And he was in the air flying around. And Cyclops was running back and forth on the ground trying to figure out how the best way to hit him. So Ted was in the air and he was just doing nothing but typhoon, typhoon, typhoon. And out of nowhere, we hear Cyclops say, "Gene splice." And then this little beam comes out of nowhere and hits Ted, knocks him out of the ground, knocks him out of the air and hits the ground. And I remember someone saying, I think it was Reed, said, "Jesus Christ." And from then on, that's what we just say. Oh, we laugh so hard. So, I think that's the Cyclops story that we had right there.
Yeah.
He always said, so from then on, someone's up flying in there, Cyclops is on the bottom, Jesus Christ, the guy's going to get hit.
Yeah. We heard Jesus Christ because we were in the arcade playing and somebody, he's a very popular assist character in 2 for his anti-air.
He is very popular for anti-air. But in Atlanta, there are people who played him all the time. Well, yeah. They played him on X-Men versus Street Fighter, but that's a different story.
Come and get me.
But they played him all the time because his optic blast takes up half the screen.
And it comes up so fast.
Unless you're flying, I mean, that's the only way you're going to block it. I mean, even if you super jump, it's still going on by the time he gets down.
Yeah.
And people would go into the combo the whole time. Well, once everyone decided that you can cancel the gene splice into an optic blast, then it started getting ridiculous.
I saw Cyclone Kick into gene splice into optic blast where he goes through, you can angle it and go straight up.
We've done the Cyclone Kick into the optic blast.
Yeah.
What did someone else said? He does a psycho kick, optic ass.
Well, I remember him doing cyclone kick because he'll say cyclone kick. Here we go, optic blast. I'm like, what the hell? How did you do that fast? Like, it comes out so fast.
He's nasty. I mean, you can dash forward and just do the fierce kick on Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Fierce kick twice, because he'll do a kick to the forehead and then a flip kick, and then you can do cyclone click right behind there.
Yeah.
And then you can go straight into optic blast. There's nothing anyone can do about it. Once that first kick hit, there's nothing anyone can do about it.
Optic blast has like no startup time.
Nope.
And no recovery time.
Nope. But we would go over, and there was this guy, he will do the two fierce kicks. It'll kick him in the forehead, do a flip kick, go into gene splice. He's like, Jesus Christ. And right at the end, right before Cyclops releases a beam, he'll go into the optic blast that he can angle.
Yeah.
That doesn't always work effectively, but it looks good.
Yeah, it looks real cute.
And on Marvel vs. Capcom 2, if the combo looks really good, it's not going to do that much damage.
It doesn't. Definitely it won't do any damage. I know that. Because I play with the next person on my list here who's Ruby Hart. And that's my namesake. My namesake character. There's a long story behind how and why I changed my screen name to Dark Rubes. But the short version of it is I originally started out on SRK as Ruby Hart forever. Okay, because I loved the character Ruby Hart. I have a thing for pirates. Especially pirate chicks with a boat. A flying airship boat. But I started playing Ruby Hart. And so I picked Ruby Hart forever as my character name on SRK. A friend of ours who set us up was like, Rubes? Because he didn't want to say Ruby Hart forever every single time. So he was like, Rubes? And I'm like, okay, that works. I'll stick with that. I like that. So I would always sign my stuff with Rubes or whatever. And people would know who it was. I mean, you know, once you figured out who the person was, you'd know who, you know. So, and I actually got a dude that's really good. I don't even know if he's still playing anymore. Jay Viscont. Viscont was big Ruby Hart player, and he actually acknowledged me, which was funny because he's well known in fighting game scene. He acknowledged me. And he was like, "That's pretty awesome that you play Ruby Hart because not that many people play her, and they need to." I was like, "Thank you. That is quite awesome of you, Viscont." And he also graced my Ruby Hart thread. This was before SRK had threads for characters. People just randomly made threads for characters and stuff. So, anyway, long story short, I got entangled into some stuff, and I decided to change my screen name for everything else for Dark Rubes, which is now my Xbox Live name. So, if you ever want to challenge me and say something like Test Drive 2 and Test Drive Unlimited 2, you know, just search for Dark Rubes or whatever, or look for me in MVC3. But anyway, so Ruby Hart, I used to play her all the time when I played too. And Ruby Hart does move calls. It's supposedly supremation, but it sounds like sublimination to me. I mean, really, I hear sublimination. So, and the move is when she does her anti-air attack, which is helpful when you're trying to run Ruby Doom. If you play Ruby Heart, you probably should be playing Doom with her, Dr. Doom, who also is coincidentally my favorite villain, one of my favorite villains, Marvel villains. Anyway, you play Ruby Doom, you're going to need Doom's rocks, his anti-air, you need the Doom rocks, which is molecular shield, and Ruby Heart's sublimination. Alright, you need all of those to like make it work. So, I was playing one night, and a friend of ours, Del Marco, who I hope you're listening to this podcast, was sitting there with me and was like, dude, did she just say dish detergent? I was like, what? How did you get dish detergent out of sublimination? But then, I mean, if I were, and I thought about it later on, and I was sitting there, and I was like, oh yeah, I could see how he'd get that out of that. I could. I was half listening because somebody else was playing, and I was half listening, and then I was like, yeah, I could see that. I could see sublimination and dish detergent, but it was weird nonetheless. It's sublimation, and you can actually hear her say that if you listen to her voice files. So I confirmed that one. Let me see. And actually, most of her stuff, too, if you hear her say, like, when she calls out partner, you can actually hear her say partner. I mean, you got to be listening to it. But she clearly says partner when she calls out the boat super. The next guy on her list is hilarious. And I came up with this one. Was Sabretooth. Now, Jamie, you were a huge Sabretooth player. As a matter of fact, you're the only person I know that plays Sabretooth in 2.
I played Sabretooth ever since he was uncontrollable in X-Men vs. Street Fighter on the Saturn version. Because he was just, compared to everyone else, he was just fast.
Yeah.
And he was almost faster. Actually, he was a little faster than Wolverine. Some of his moves were faster than Wolverine on the game, on the Saturn version. So he was almost uncontrollable. So on Marvel vs. Capcom 2, he's still fast, but everyone else kind of keeps up with him. Now, first thing I have to say about Sabretooth is that right before we were playing this match, and I was the only person to play my anger management team. My anger management team consists of Sabretooth, Hulk, and Colossus, or Colossius.
We're going to get to Colossius in a minute.
If Hulk wasn't in it, then it was Sabretooth, Juggernaut, and Colossus. So, I remember playing, and I had,
you have to explain why were they anger management team?
My anger management team for two reasons. One, if I was very frustrated at someone's tactics and anything, I used to bring that up. And I always hear the phrase, once Juggernaut comes out and says Juggernaut Punch, and hits someone, whether it's an assist or not, I always hear someone say, I didn't think he moved that fast. I always heard that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's helped me release the anger that I had right there in front of me against someone's extremely annoying tactic as Cable was. I'm going to sit back here and keep firing at you.
Hold gunshots.
So, that was one reason it was called anger management. Second reason was because it caused a lot of people to get angry when I played this team. Yet, they respected the way this team was played, so they had to control their anger when they played. So, that was the reason why I called it the anger management team. I remember this one time, and Sabretooth was usually the point person unless I was fighting against someone like Magneto or something like that.
Yeah.
And I remember this one guy said to me, it's about time I finish with you, your name's going to be Sabretoothless. And I remember laughing.
That's so ridiculous.
I remember laughing so hard that the guy had already pulled off a couple combos on me before anything else, and I sat there and I looked at him and he's like, dude, you alright? I said, did you hear yourself just a few minutes ago? No, what did I say? So I repeated it for him, and then he bust out laughing. He didn't even listen to what he was saying.
But wasn't he the same dude talking about Colossus?
No, he wasn't the same guy. His name was Brandon, who loved Colossus because Colossus had that shoulder rush that you could see coming a mile away, but you still, for some reason, couldn't avoid it. You either had to block it or get hit by it.
Yes, yes.
So, and he would hit you. And when Colossus hit you, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, if most people don't notice anything, but the whole screen,
a lot of damage.
The whole screen vibrates.
Yes.
So,
it shakes.
I remember the first time he seen that, and someone got hit by his, oh, man, he hit him hard. What's that guy's name? Colossus.
Colossus.
I was like, it's Colossus. Colossus? Okay, whatever. And from then on, he started playing, and then Colossus was obviously Russian, because you can hear his Russian accent in his voice.
Yes. Yeah, so yes, when we get into Colossus, we're gonna come back to Sabretooth. But you come down here to Colossus, and this is where I first heard this one, because I was like, I had never heard that.
And Brandon sat there, and he was playing Colossus one day, and I walked by him and everything, and Colossus did his wind pose when he says Dos Badania, and he's got his arms up. And he's got his back to the screen and everything, and it's like he's showing off his arms. And Brandon did the same thing, and Brandon turns around and smiles and says, "Look what I done." And I was like, "What did you do?" No, that's what he said. Who said that? Colossus. When did Colossus say that? See, now I'm talking like when did Colossus says, "Look what I done." Just then, see. He's Russian. Yeah? Why would he say, look what I done? Because he dismantled the team. Look at it. So there was no arguing with that guy.
Oh, my word. And actually, and that was on my list, was that he said, what we've heard is he said, look what I done. And actually what he says is, Das Vidanya, which is goodbye in Russian.
So
I don't understand.
So anyway, I'm going back. It was my anger management team going back to Sabretooth, and Sabretooth has this move where he jumps over there, grabs the person by the head, and tosses.
Yeah.
And everyone you talk to always hear the same thing.
I heard, and I was the one that said it, because I was like, did he just say Poontang?
And it's, I mean, if you listen to it, it sounds like he says Pool Tang. Yeah, exactly like he says.
He says Wild Fang. Yes, I actually looked it up. Yes, well, what's actually hilarious is it's the guy from the TV show, and we should probably mention this too. All these people who are doing the voices of the Marvel characters are from the Marvel animated, the X-Men animated series.
On Marvel vs. Capcom and Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Yes. On 3, it's not. They're different people.
3, they've been updated to the people who are doing the contracts now for them.
Whoever they've got doing voices for them now, such as the guy who did Hulk in MVC and MVC 2 is not the same person in 3.
No.
Because he didn't until way later become the voice of Hulk.
He's the guy that does the Hulk voice on the Versus movies.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he does them all the animated movies. So... that's why, like, it's not the same. This guy that's doing Sabretooth's voice in this one, he's actually the one from the TV show, which is hilarious.
Fox animated series TV show.
Yeah, yes. The X-Men animated, yes, the Fox version. The awesome Fox version that I got up at 11 a.m. to see every Saturday that I have on DVD. Also, people, wait for it, because we're getting ready to do that in third quarter. We're going to review volume 1 of the animated series. For the property review in the strip, so look out for that. But definitely, it's the same guy from the show. So, I swore up and down he was saying Poontang. I was like, did he just say Poontang? Tammy was like, no, he said Wild Fang. It's really funny, actually. I really thought that.
There's very few things to say with you. Says extremely clear.
Yeah.
Birdie is one.
Thanks, Birdie.
Birdie is one you can hear all the time, because he'll say, Birdie! And you know she's coming out, because she'll say yes, boss. Actually, she starts shooting before she starts
shooting
yes, boss.
First, yeah. And she says, yes, boss! Well, actually, it's hilarious, because he says thanks, Birdie. You can clearly hear him say thanks, Birdie.
He does say thanks, Birdie. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. Like, he's clear as day there, but... With that Wild Fang, like, I swear he's saying Poontang.
Another one was Wolverine. Wolverine does Berserker Claw, And, everyone hears Berserker Claw and you hear Berserker Barrage. You don't hear Berserker Barrage. Because I hear, this ain't no Mirage. Or, put it in the garage. I mean, whatever you can think of, then with Osh at the end of it, you can put in there. So,
I should have put that one on the list.
It was ridiculous because we were here, Berserker Barrage. And we went from Berserker to Barrage to, this ain't no Mirage. Or, we need to put it in the garage. I mean, there was long conversations about that back and forth with them.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Yes, I heard that too. Once I actually sat there and listened to it, I was like, okay, come on, Wolverine. Like,
and it doesn't matter which Wolverine it is.
No, it doesn't. Now, this one in three, it's very clear what he's saying. Because that's I want to say Stephen Bloom doing the voice. Which, if you've watched any anime and you've watched Cowboy Bebop, you know Stephen Bloom's voice. Or you watch Toonami on Cartoon Network.
Yeah, back in the day, he did Tom.
Yeah, he was the voice of Tom. And he did some of the voiceover promos for him. Along with, what's your boy, Peter Cullen.
Yep.
He did some voiceover promos for him for the bumpers and stuff. Which I'm trying to find them all for that, too.
Peter Cullen is the man.
Very much so. Now we're going to get to the man on this list. God almighty, this man prompts the most speculation as to what the hell he's saying. And what's awful is the guy's voice is awesome. Okay? Just awesome. And the character is actually pretty decent. Minus the fact that, you know, he kind of breaks the game in two. But damn, Cable does not have, like, the most unclear voice samples ever. He is the hardest one to figure out what they're saying. Seriously, like, he prompts the most debate. I have found that in the past 10 years, Cable has prompted the most debate because you can't hear him. If you could turn off the sound effects in the background and just keep character voice, then you could understand what he was saying. Or they had that option in the sound test. You could clearly probably hear exactly what he's saying.
Anything would have been better than listening to that jazz music.
That's true. But I actually don't mind the jazz. I don't. I'm a jazz fan anyway. I'm a jazz enthusiast. So the music doesn't bother me too much. But I wish I could turn it off so I could hear what the shit Cable is saying. It is the most frustrating thing in the world trying to figure out what Cable was saying. I mean, like, you can hear him clearly say Hyper Viper Beam. Okay, like, or Viper Beam. Or Scimitar. You could hear that.
We heard Sell My Car.
Yeah, I heard Sell My Car too, actually. But actually, I mean, you could see him throwing the scimitar up. So I could understand that. But when he says, it's when he does his wind pose. Like, I got a list. He's the one with the longest stuff on here. Except for the announcer and MVC. But we've heard Open Up For Now, Open Up Enough, Open Up For Now, That's Enough For Now, Push Too Far, let me think, what else does he say? You Went Too Far. I was like, which is it, Cable? Now, we've pretty much confirmed he probably does say, You Went Too Far. Now, And I was in the arcade, and somebody was like, oh, your shit went too far. I was like, what? He didn't say that. I heard that one. But definitely, I think he's probably saying you went too far or pushed too far. That I probably heard those two the most. Now, my other one is, which is it? Is it Hope Enough For Now? Open Up For Now. You and I have had this debate. And I said, it's Hope Enough For Now. You said, Open Up For Now. Which I can understand Open Up For Now because he's got to open up his arm. Because, you know, he's got the techno-organic virus and it's like trying to take over his arm and he lets his arm out. It's the wind pose where he lets his arm out. And his arm is like huge and gross looking. I could see Hope Enough For Now, but I definitely can see Open Up For Now. Because he's saying, you know, he's got to open up his arm for right now to let it, because he's been holding it back the whole time.
Yep. I always say it is open up for now, since that is exactly what he's doing. And
yeah,
it takes a lot of mental control just to keep it up. I mean, yeah, he's using part of his telekinetic powers just to keep it in check.
Yeah.
So I always say it was open up for now. most people sat there and agreed with me.
Yeah.
Now,
I heard that's enough for now, too, though. That, you could kind of see that's enough for now. You know, because he's letting his arm out.
Only if he pimp slapping someone with that arm. I can see him releasing it and letting his arm out, and someone stands up and he's like, oh, that's enough for now. And he pimp slaps him out the way. I can see that. But
yeah, I agree. It's probably open up for now. Now, also, my thing is his super move. Now, not Hyper Viper Beam, because you can hear him say that. But what is he saying when he does time flip or time slip? Is it time flip or time slip?
I believe it's time slip, since he's basically talking to his cube, and that's all he usually says is like time slip. I mean, because he's only moving just fractions.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just moving back and forth just a fraction. So, yeah, I can see him say time slip. Time flip.
I've heard time flip too, though.
I've heard people say time flip, but we have to think of the way Marvel thinks things. And you start saying time flip, then I can see that being a whole campaign of issues about time flipping and what changes. And I don't remember that ever coming up in Marvel, so that's why I say I think it's more of time slip.
I think it's time slip too. I'm not quite sure, but I think you're probably right. I got on here time flip. That he says time flip. Only reason why I say time flip is because, one, I've heard that, and he actually does a flip when he goes into, when he actually does it. You can see him do it when he comes out of it. He's like, because he's angry because he didn't finish it or something. But yeah, I've kind of heard that. I don't know. Cable is, I wish they would, like, I've actually gotten his files, his voice files, but I still can't understand it, because it's not clear, it's just, it's, even with no background noise, it's still not clear, so I don't know, but, moving on, Silver Samurai, that's your boy. When he does his win pose,
hope for me.
You say he said vote for me.
Vote for me. Symphony.
And I can't figure out what he's saying. It's something in Japanese.
He said everything on that. And in fact, there is one that we have that he doesn't even say anything. He's just when he does his super.
Yeah.
And we've said everything from I have the power.
When he does the lightning super.
Yeah,
when he does it and he's like, and it sounds like he's saying amazing. I heard amazing when he goes like this and he's got the lightning comes up and he goes amazing like that, and I swear he's saying amazing. There is no telling.
We just went ahead and said he's doing the He-Man thing, so
yeah, he's probably doing He-Man thing.
I have the power. And we've always said that.
I have his voice files too, and I need to go look it up.
But yeah, we've, in his win pose, we've said everything from symphony, which really doesn't make any sense when you think about it.
Vote for me.
Vote for me. Only during election times. And we Silver Samurai, we messed around with him so much, and we've probably been doing that with him since X-Men Children of Atom. So
yeah. All right. Well, we got the Colossus. We done Colossus. He was the other one from two.
Colossus.
Now from one, because we're gonna get to, and we at MVC now. From number one from the first game, voice files. Lord, let me tell y'all, I love me some War Machine. I do. I love War Machine. I actually like War Machine more than I like Iron Man. I do. I like War Machine better. Actually, because I really like his name. Because when I first played NBC, I had never even heard of War Machine. And I was like, what's a War Machine? And then I saw War Machine, I was like, Iron Man? Wrong colors? And then I played War Machine, and I was like, oh, okay, he's a completely different... Oh, okay, so I did my research. I went back and did my research. Because I heard of Iron Man, of course. But War Machine... War Machine's voice files. This has been a source of debate too. It was a source of debate. And you heard us talk about this if you listen to any of our other podcasts about Marvel.
It was never a debate for me.
Well, I have to explain why it was a debate. Because when Elgin and I played, we also played the first Marvel vs. Capcom together. We played that all the time. And in the arcade, you cannot hear what they're saying because there's so much crap going on around you with other machines. And then, you know, there's things going on in the game. You can't understand them. So we came up with, when he does Proton Cannon, we heard 8x10 photo Proton Cannon. 8x10 easy Proton Cannon. Somebody else came up with something else, and I can't remember what it was. But we heard those two things the most. And I was like, why would he say 8x10 photo? It's hilarious, though, because you can't understand him when he pulls out Proton Cannon. He says it really fast. But you can understand Proton Cannon, you know, and he's sitting there rocking back and forth shooting his gun at you, which is hilarious, too. But I swore up and down it was 8x10 photo. For years, 8x10 photo Proton Cannon. Okay. Till I meet you. You come in and you say, what you mean he said 8x10 photo? Woman, he ain't said no 8x10 photo. He said it's my Sunday best. I was like, how the hell did you get it's my Sunday best out of that? I was like, how did you hear this?
But once I told you, you went and heard it. Yeah, he does say it.
I found the voice file because I specifically wanted to find it for War Machine and for Cable. And when I found it for War Machine, I was sitting there one day and I found it.
And Iron Man, because Iron Man says it on Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
But no, you can understand him just as clear as day. He says Proton Cannon. He doesn't even say it's my Sunday best.
It's my Sunday best. Or as Ted said, it's my Sunday best.
Yeah, it's my Sunday best. But I heard it. I listened to the voice. I was sitting there with my mom in her den, and I said, Ma, this man, we should have been swearing him down for years. This man says 8x10 photo. We're going to listen. It's the first time I found this file. I want to listen to this, and I want to hear what he says. Just as clear as day, it comes out, it's my Sunday best, Proton Cannon. I was like, are you kidding me? Oh, my word, I was so mad. 8x10 photo was hilarious, because I was like, why would he be saying 8x10 photo? So when I saw Elgin again, this was years after I had seen Elgin, I told him, I said, you do realize we've been saying the wrong thing for War Machine this entire time, right? And he was like, really? And I was like, yes, here, listen. And he listened to it, and he was like, holy shit. He does say it's my Sunday best. I was like, why would he say it's my Sunday best? But he says it.
Why would he say 8x10 photo?
I know. But he clearly says it's my Sunday best when you can get all the background crap out of the way and slow it down.
Even with the background stuff. Just like we had a discussion once when the Marvel characters went to do a move.
Yeah, that's on the list here. I got that on the list.
And I said, they said X. And you're just like,
oh, no, it wasn't X. I knew he said X. It's not Marvel characters. It's X-Men that they do X.
X-Men, yeah.
But no, when they said Infinity.
Oh, yeah, it was Infinity, you couldn't understand. Because I heard people said it. It sounds like they said, get ready.
Yes, I heard get back.
I was like, no, it's Infinity from the Marvel superhero game where someone used the Infinity Gem to, it's Infinity. It's not Infinity.
I didn't believe it. I heard get back the entire time. And then he said get ready. And I was like, okay, I can understand get ready. But then when I actually sat down and played Marvel Superheroes, it's just as slow. And it's slow in that one. And there's not a whole lot of crap going on either. You can hear them clearly say Infinity. Because it's the Infinity Gems. But I was like, Infinity, and then when I listened to it, just as clear as Infinity. And that was another one I had to listen to the voice files to pick it up.
Capcom's not going to change the voice file no more than they have to.
No,
so if they used it in another game, you best believe they're going to use it again.
Yeah, and that's what I have down here is that I said, we heard get back when they say Infinity. And it says when we heard it is when a character previously playable in War of the Gems initiates a super move.
Yep.
And mostly it's like Hulk and who else is this? Hulk and somebody else
Captain
in the game.
America.
Captain America and somebody else.
Spider-Man.
And Spider-Man, yeah. They'll say.
Because you can hear it clearly when he does Maximum Spider.
Because mm-hmm.
he'll jump on the wall, Infinity! And then he goes straight into it.
Yeah. But that's actually pretty awesome. I love the voice. I love how they set it up. It's really a comic book game. Like, it's definitely a comic book game.
Yes.
You can't mistake it for anything else. Now, also in the same list, we're down to the announcer. The announcer, I swear, we both say the announcer is saying crap. Which, they probably aren't saying crap, but I couldn't tell. It sounds like, especially when you go to
put in the tokens.
Yeah.
You go to put in your tokens and everything. And Marvel versus Capcom.
Crap.
Dude.
This is Marvel versus Capcom.
Why did she just say crap?
Let's go crazy.
I mean,
I can understand let's go crazy just as clear.
I didn't understand why she said crap.
But she clearly is, I swear she's saying crap. I heard that too the first time I played. And I was like, did she just say crap?
I think everybody hears crap. So, not meaning everybody listens to crap. I'm just saying, I think
she
what she said.
Crap.
It just sounds like she says crap.
Now, the chick who's doing the voice for the announcer in Marvel vs. Capcom does the voice of Ada Wong in Resident Evil?
Two.
Yeah, it's Resident Evil 2. I found that out later, too.
Ada.
Yeah.
That game was interesting. I remember playing through it, and especially Ted, because Ted had me laughing. Because you're playing as Leon, and Leon realizes that Ada's not exactly what she's supposed to be. And he's only known her maybe two, total 3 hours. And this guy's like, well, Ada's not this, you know, she does all this stuff. And all of a sudden, Leon says, that's not true. I know her. She wouldn't do anything like that.
Right.
I remember Ted telling me this, like, yes, because he's known her for 2 hours since I've been playing. So, yeah, that was interesting. But Marvel vs. Capcom. Not only does the Marvel characters have some stuff, but the Capcom characters have some really strange things too.
Because we're getting the Capcom characters right now. Because we already talked about Hulk and Damn It's Hot. He says Gamma Charge.
Yep.
And he very clearly says it in 3. I mean, it's clear as day it's Gamma Charge. Well, one more.
it's clear in all the games. It's just he says it so fast that you can come up with everything.
Damn It's Hot.
Demi-Crush.
I love the fact. Now, I can understand Gamma Crush.
He says Gamma Crush, but we just started, went ahead and said, you know, since he's saying Demi-Crush, it was like Demi-Crush.
Well, I like the fact that in the third one, he says, Gamma Tsunami! And you can clearly understand that he's saying that.
You can understand almost anything. Everybody on there, you can hear it because they have. Of course, you can have the English or the Japanese on there.
Yeah.
So you can hear everyone. They enunciate very clearly. They pronounce all their words.
Yes.
They might say it fast, but you can still hear everything.
Suffer Dormammu. Dreadlord Dormammu, who says, "Burn to cinder, chaotic flame." I love Dormammu.
But he says everything very clearly.
Which is actually Michael T. Weiss. If you ever watched the show The Pretender, that's Michael T. Weiss that's doing the voice, which is awesome.
On Marvel vs. Capcom, though.
Like that.
Ryu,
Oh, he says it's slow now.
Ryu says many, many things on the first Marvel vs. Capcom.
Ryu says we got him down here on the list, too, when he does quick change with a quickness.
he says, with a quickness. I heard, what else have we said he said? One of his super fireballs, I think it was either when he's in, like, the evil form or maybe in Cell. He doesn't even say Shinku Hadouken. He's just Shinku Hadouken.
Yes.
So,
Yes, he does.
It was like, I'm going to do Shinku. I don't feel like Hadouken. I'll just get this by. And who else is it for Capcom that says? Oh, Bison.
He always damn talking. That's my thing about Bison. He always talking. He could be, he done his assistant jumped off screen, and he has his ass is still talking.
Bison says, he comes out of the screen and he's like, "It hurt."
Yo, Makuchi hurt.
Yeah, he says it hurts. Makuchi hurt. The only thing you can completely, you can hear him say, "Psycho Crusher."
Psycho Crusher.
You don't really hear "Knee Press Nightmare" because it's,
well, I can hear him say "Knee Press Nightmare"
because sometimes it sounds like, sometimes you hear like he says "Knee Gagwa." Or anything, so.
I can hear "Knee Press Nightmare" because he's "Knee Press Nightmare." I was like, "Whoa, Bison, what's in it?"
Might be straining.
Constipated much? But, I love Bison.
They have all kind of crazy. Capcom, we just got messed up with Street Fighter, which Street Fighter characters and anything. They're all gonna say something real. The one that got me the most was Captain Commando. What Captain Commando likes to do. Yes, he does his ground pound, and we've always said, maybe because I was in Atlanta, but everyone always said when he did a ground pound, because usually the person playing Captain Commando only did a ground pound if someone liked to jump a lot.
Yes.
And everyone said, Captain Commando says, cut that shit out.
We heard, especially when he does, what is it, which one is it, Captain Corridor, when he does Captain Corridor. And he runs across the screen and does the uppercut, and all his buddies come out, and he calling all his little buddies out to do the move, and they come down and they do the pose. That shit is hilarious because he's like, "Skank ho!" I never laughed so hard in my life. I was at a tournament, and Del Marco was the one that said, "You know, Captain Commando just said skank ho." I was like, "No, he didn't." He was like, "Yes, he did." And I listened to it again, and he goes like, "Skank ho!" And then they pose, and they all jump off screen. I have never laughed so hard in my life. I had the stereo turned up, and I actually heard listen to that. He doesn't say skank ho. I don't even know what he says, but it's not skank ho. I need to get his voice files, because he's definitely, I think he's saying, you said he's saying, thank you.
Well, he is asking his teammates to come out there and help him.
Yes,
and true. They come out there to help him and doing his supers anyway. But
yes,
but yeah, he's one that he says a lot of interesting things.
I got skank ho out of that one.
we never heard that.
I had skank ho, stank ho. I'm trying to think who else. Captain Commando. Is interesting. I like Captain Commando, though. I do actually like him. I didn't like his game, which if you read our review this quarter that Jamie wrote, the game on Super Nintendo is not exactly the best when you compare it to its arcade counterpart. But it's not bad, but it could be better. It could be much better. But I like the character. The character's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's a nice beat 'em up game. You just want to press buttons.
Yeah.
So, and that's a coin muncher because it's an arcade gun. It was an arcade game back at that time, so.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to remember.
Oh.
Who else was it on?
Mega Man.
Oh, Mega
Man. Mega Man.
Mega Man's had all kind of stuff. We just really tried not to pay Mega Man.
Let me tell you about Mega Man. We were in the arcade. I remember this. We were in the arcade playing, because I played in the first one. I always played Mega Man and Ryu. I played Mega Man, Ryu, or Mega Man Morgan. Or I played Morgan and Venom. Venom was another one, too, but you could understand him clearly. Because he clearly says, "We want to eat your brains." Or villain. Or come and get us. But I love villain. I love Venom. He's one of my favorites. But Mega Man, I always played Mega Man as part of one of my teams. And which is surprising because, you know, I don't like Mega Man at all. I don't like any of the Mega Man games except for Mega Man X on Super Nintendo. But that was because the music was awesome. But anyway, I don't particularly care for Mega Man overall, but in NBC, he's pretty awesome. This fool said, we were playing one night, and so I did Hyper Mega Man, okay, where he turns into the giant mech super. And Elder says, Elder was standing there with me, and he's probably playing against me. And he's like, did he just say, it's the goody mob? Because it clearly sounds like, because he says it so fast, you can't really understand what he's saying. But it sounds like he's saying, it's the goody mob. What's up? I was like, it's the goody mob.
I will admit, it does sound like he says, what's up.
Yeah, he does say, what's up. I swear he says, what's up. But goody mob, no.
I don't think he's saying, what's up. But it sounds like he says, what's up. I definitely know he's not talking about the goody mob.
The goody mob. And I thought I was like, the goody mob. Goody mob is a rap group. But I swore up and down, he said, goody mob. It's the goody mob. I was like, what the hell? Why would he say it's the goody? I don't know. It'd be possible.
I don't think it's possible.
But yeah, he's interesting. He's definitely one that we first, I swear he's saying Hyper Mega Man. He's probably saying Hyper Mega Man.
He's probably saying it in Japanese or anything else.
Yeah,
I mean,
probably
he would be.
Yeah.
But we used to make up sayings to what he says was taunt. Well, his taunts, he's not really saying anything. He says, say, we used to come up with words and everything he says, like, you peed in your pants. Or,
what in the world?
He said, you peed in your pants. Or, you sit there, you got beat up in France. I mean, we just came up with all kinds of crazy stuff. just from Beady Beady Bed.
I knew he was making ridiculous faces and stuff.
And that's all he does, but we get people who's been playing a game a long time. They'll come up with anything else. Especially when someone likes to do the taunt right as they're about to die. They got no life left whatsoever. You wonder what they're holding on to. And this person's sitting over there, maxed out super, and you know what they're about to do to kill you all. So, what does the person do? Hit the start button. Beady, beady, bad. And all of a sudden, all of a sudden, you see two characters jump on the other side of the screen. That's all over.
Actually, I like Chun-Li when you do the variable crossover, when you call out both characters for the limited time when you gotta have level 3. Because she's like, what? I was like, what the fuck?
Yep, she gets out.
She gets extremely excited. Actually, and what I really like about it is the fact that they put the two faces together. That's pretty awesome. Because the two faces come from the character select screen.
Yes.
But I like how they put the two faces together when they do that, especially when you're playing as the same character. That's pretty awesome. Because you can play, you know, once you can play as the same character, you get the two faces on there and they come together and it's the same, you know, it's a full face. That's pretty awesome. And I like the music in that little section too, but it's pretty hilarious. She's pretty funny.
The best one is the whole, and I guess because I watched a lot of the Incredible Hulk TV show when I was a little kid, but the best one I always thought was to get Captain Commando and Hulk together and do the variable cross, because it looks like the old 70s show Bill Bixby. Yeah, thank you. Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno as the Hulk when they merged the two pictures together, because that's what it looks like. You can see one man who's like, I'm really sad. And another person's like, I'm the angry Hulk. So I always love that part. So I'll put those two together and you go, bam!
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Who else? We already talked about Ryu with the quickness. He does sound like he's saying with the quickness when he changes back to Ryu from anybody else. Then we get to my boy Onslaught. Onslaught is crucial. Onslaught is crucial. Because Onslaught, we've heard him, I swear, Jamie's correct, he says, nobody's safe. He's actually saying no one is safe.
I mean, a lot of the stuff he does, he says, it's clear you can say it, because, you know, he says arm, you'll see an arm come out. But,
is that what he's saying, is arm?
He's just saying arm.
I'm just saying,
No, because he always says it first and then it comes out. So, I mean, it's not like he's going, and he's not using that much effort to do it, but he's just like, oh, man. EM's Disruptor, you know.
Yes.
I'm going
to EM Disruptor.
And Hypergraft. And he'll say, behold my mighty hand. And
he'll
say that real fast, but a lot of times, you know, and the smaller version of him, he says things so fast, so quickly, and they're so constant, they kind of merge all together.
Yes.
He'd be like, out the blast. Out the blast. Hey, Crush. Hey, Crush. My name is Shockwave. Hey, Crush. Hey, Crush.
I was like, what in the world?
Hypergraph. And he just sits there forever. And, yes. He says, the only thing I think is the best one probably was when he goes from a small form to the large form, and then does sound like he says, nobody's safe.
That is pretty hilarious. I played a lot of the first one. The first one was actually my favorite. Of the two, the first one is my favorite. Now, 3 has some excellent voice work. I think 3 has really fixed the voice work problems, that the very few that there were, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, 3 kind of takes away that whole people playing fighting games, at least in our generation, people playing fighting games and making up phrases and everything of what they're saying.
Because you can clearly understand what they're saying.
You can completely hear. The only person who does add to it, and you don't have to add any phrases to it, is Deadpool.
Oh, word.
Deadpool says enough funny things for himself.
Such as, your mama!
Let's say your mama, or he comes out on the screen and he's dancing one way and you're behind him, and the person he's fighting is supposed to be behind him. Or he comes out on the screen, they up you up, and then jumps off the screen, say he's got a bathroom break.
Yeah, bathroom break. Or he comes out and he asks you to come out, and he says, try not to suck.
Yep. So,
He is hilarious. It's cutting time.
he says a lot of things that you don't really have to add your imagination to, but he's the only person on there that says he's trying to pop you up in the air, and he says, sure you can.
Yes.
And
yes.
I was told by a friend of mine who's been playing it that you beat the game with you. And you ask Deadpool, how'd you get that Shoryuken?
Yes.
So, that's hilarious. So, he's the only one that doesn't leave anything. I mean, I guess if you could, you can put it in a language you don't really understand, such as for us to be more Japanese, or you speak mostly Japanese to be English. But a lot of people who speak Japanese also speak English, so it wouldn't be any different to them. So, it does leave out a lot of that. What are they really saying? We can make stuff up, things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Deadpool adds something else to it, so.
Just like Cap.
and of course, you got Taskmaster, who says funny things all the time, so.
Well, although now, I swear, Beautiful Joe is saying Sex Machine. Come on, Sex Machine, Six Cannon. I'm sorry, he's saying Sex Machine, but I've actually heard he's saying Six Cannon.
Yep.
That's pretty hilarious.
That's probably the only one that's pretty close.
Yeah, but
so far.
Yeah, so far that I've heard. Well, and Dormammu, some of that I had to be like, he was saying, what? He said, what's wrong?
He does say what's wrong.
Like that. He's pretty hilarious. Anyway, moving on. Street Fighter 3, Third Strike. Prepare to strike now. That was pretty awesome. I did like that. About Third Strike. I like the voice work in Third Strike. I know most people weren't too fond of the character select screen. I know most people weren't fond of the character select screen rap. I had no problem with it. I thought it was actually pretty hilarious, given that it's a fighting game.
But it changed the rap so like 3 times. I mean, on Street Fighter 3, it was okay. Actually, I enjoyed the characters. I mean, it wasn't really that balanced. Ken was a beast on the first one.
Ken's a beast in all of them.
Ken's a beast in the third. Ken was more of a beast on the first one because, you know, you can link almost anything into a super in that game, but Ken was nasty. It's like, I can go from Hadouken to Shin Shoryuken. Okay, no big deal. Oh, I got Shoryuken that can hit anyone from anywhere, and 2 Shin Shoryuken.
Yeah.
Oh, I can parry and do Shinshoryuken. You know what else I can do? I can jump in with a fierce punch and do Shinshoryuken, which does amazing. It did amazing damage. So when the second version of Street Fighter 3 came out,
Shinryuken. You said Shinshoryuken.
Yes, Shinryuken.
I guess Shinryuken.
Sorry.
Yeah.
The second version of it came out, and I played more Hugo than anything else because that's who I was waiting for. I'm playing Hugo. He says Hammer Mountain.
Yes.
But I always heard blah 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 blah.
What in the world?
That's what I always heard. And it's hilarious. And that was the main reason why I played it all the time.
I clearly heard Hammer Mountain.
Yeah, I mean he does say Hammer Mountain. Blah 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 blah. Because it's always a clap at the end. I like Hugo. And you got Akuma.
You said Alex, too.
Well, Alex I loved on the first one because, you know, you just hit him.
Jesus.
If you kill him, if you knock him out with just a weak attack, he does
Jesus.
And he falls down. Which they decided.
You can't escape.
They took away from him. because, you know, Americans got offended. But on the third one.
What's that movie do? What's that one he does? It's one of his supers.
Stun gun headbutt?
I guess.
When he jumps over there and grabs the person and stuns him? He says you can't escape?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's it.
Stun gun headbutt. And on the third one, of course, you know, I mean, everybody played that. You had many characters to play. I think the most unique out of the third one was probably the fact that they increased Gil to a point where he was actually...
He was obnoxious.
He might have been obnoxious, but he was more of a challenge than he was on the first two. Because the first one, once you got his pattern down, he became fairly easy to beat. As long as you're not playing as Sean. Even with Sean, though, Sean was nasty on the first two games. They changed him a little bit. And, I mean, he's still pretty good in the third one, but they changed him. They changed him a little bit. You know, don't call him Dan, because he didn't have that much of a fireball. Period. But on the third one, Gil stuck out to me the most because they allowed him to do more than just resurrection. I mean, he would do resurrection.
I am your god.
He would do resurrection on the first one. I mean, he was just on the first game, and we knew he had the supers. They just programmed them for him not to use them.
Yeah.
First game, he held the super ball until you beat him, so he can do resurrection.
Yep.
The second game, he started using his super meters.
Yep.
But he wouldn't necessarily hold it for resurrection. And on the third one, more or less to how you played, he decided if he needed to use it.
Well, he was going to use it.
I mean, he was out of the whole game. He was more designed as if someone, it was a person playing him, instead of, you know, the computer's just sitting there. You know, I'm going to let you beat me up. Oh, I'm going to hit you back now. I'm going to fight you hard. I'm going to use the super. Oh, I messed up. I shouldn't have used that super then. Oh, now you defeated me. This one, Gil was more of, aha. Oh, you come out stronger now. I'll slow you down. I'll change your tactics on you. Now I'm being aggressive. Now what you going to do? Oh, look at that. I got a super meter. Am I going to use it? No, I'm not going to use it. I'm going to use it. No, I'm not going to use it. Oh, you're about to die if I chip you. I'm going to use the suit.
Yep. That's exactly what he does.
So, and he'll decide, and he doesn't always do the same super, so
yeah.
He just decides which one he needs to do the most, which, yeah. Man, that's the only thing. He was probably more challenging that way, and although you can be more aggressive and throw him off his game, but every now and then, he'll throw a monkey wrench in your plan, so.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about that third strike. That and the competition, because there were a lot of people who played Street Fighter 2 that actually played third strike more than they played Street Fighter 3.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Speaking of Street Fighter 2, also on this page, we got a Super Street Fighter 2 X for Dreamcast for matching service. Now, I know you didn't particularly like this very much.
I hated Street Fighter 2. I'll admit, because I had Street Fighter 2 left a bad taste in my mouth.
Okay.
The very first time I played Street Fighter 2, and I was trying to learn how to play the game, I put my tokens in, and I think I was playing Turbo. And the very first person I fought against, I played as Ryu Ken, because someone said, you know, try them first if you're not learning.
Yes.
And the very first round, I remember, and I was fighting against Zangief. And I remember at the time the man said, round one, fight. I was in the air from a pile driver.
Yep.
Before anything else. See, no one ever warned me about stuff like that.
Nope.
So, I lost. So, I did a recontinue. I did a, put my coins in to continue.
Yeah.
Well, I fought against Zangief, who did the exact same thing. I couldn't get past Zangief. And I'm sitting there, I was like, this is the first character. I'm supposed to be learning. What's the problem with it? So I went over there and I asked the guy who, his name was Jamie. Is the difficulty up high on that? No. That's just Street Fighter. You just got to know how to beat Zangief. Oh. So anyway, I got past Zangief and start fighting against T-Hawk. Which is just as worse.
Yes.
So, I think I tried it for maybe about a month and I said, I just don't care about Street Fighter 2.
Yeah. Well, I did not play. I played Street Fighter 2, but I played more Mortal Kombat than anything else. So, I didn't particularly care for it all that much. I played Ken and Ryu. I thought they were saying Hoboken most of the time. So, like Hoboken, New Jersey. But, they weren't. So, I just didn't play it a whole lot. But I do like Super Street Fighter 2X. I do. I actually like it. It's for somebody who doesn't like Street Fighter 2, I actually can play this. And it's because I enjoy playing the characters. And I like that they've refined the engine. I don't know. It's, and especially considering we didn't get this version in America. It wasn't until recently that we got this version. Like, you know, maybe within the past 10 years that we got, that we managed to get Super Street Fighter 2X. I mean, you know, sometimes I like watching, and I love the options that it has. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. But I enjoy playing Super Street Fighter 2X. Because I like playing as Ken and Ryu. And I'll play Ken all day long. I'll play that than some versions of... Like, I don't really care for Third Strike that much. I mean, it's okay. I'll play it. But I don't really care for it that much. I'll play 2X before I play Third Strike. Which is odd. But, I mean, I like that better.
I'll play Double Impact before I play Third Strike. That's just because I like the way... Some of the main, I mean, it's little changes, but that's because, you know, combos seem to be, I don't think they're more fluid, because I know they refined the way the combos are done, the timing and everything, but Shun seemed to be more playable on 2 than he is on 3.
Yeah.
So, on Third Strike, so.
Yeah.
That being said, also, I mean, it's still had to work with the timing.
Yeah.
But other than that, it seemed great.
Yeah. Well, moving on, we have your favorite game, Mr. Prince of the Iron Fist. Prince of the Iron Fist Tournament 5. Actually, it's not Tekken. It's Soul Calibur. Because if you recall, no real Tekken actually appeared on Dreamcast unless you had Bling. And you could play Tekken 3. But Soul Calibur... Now, I don't even particularly care for Soul Calibur all that much. I don't. I can't play it very well. But Soul Calibur was the jump off back in the day for Dreamcast. This game is still pretty. And it's like 11 years later. This game is still pretty. 12 years later now, I guess. Almost. It'll be 12 years this year. But this game is still pretty. Soul Calibur... I can sit down and play Soul Calibur, and I don't even play it very well, but I actually will sit down and play sometimes. And I actually enjoy playing it. It's fun. I mean, yeah, you can button mash and all, but I like to use a little bit of skill that I've kind of sort of learned and play it. And I enjoy playing certain characters. Like, I play Valdo all the time. Valdo, Astaroth, Cervantes. Who else do I play? Oh, Mr. Ruggie and Ivy. I play those. I play all the hard characters. Mr. Ruggie's not hard, but I play the advanced level characters, which is probably why I don't do very well at the game. But, I mean, I have fun playing it.
Well, Soul Calibur, the reason why it became so popular is because Soul Calibur was designed so anyone could pick it up and start playing it. Yep. You don't need to learn some kind of moveset or anything. You don't necessarily have to remember button mash combos in order to win. All you need to know is you got a guard button. You can move 8 ways around the screen.
Yep.
You got a horizontal attack, a vertical attack, and a kick. Yep. That's all you really need to know in that game. And once you know that, and that's probably the reason why it became extremely popular, is anyone can pick it up. You can have kids who are like 6 or 7 years old playing against people who are in their 30s. Yep. And, I mean, it's challenging and fun either way. You can have beginner players and advanced players, and they all can play together. Well, obviously, the advanced players, you know, might have a little edge on them, but at the same time, with the beginning characters, they will do things more out of the ordinary, so it might throw the advanced characters off, the advanced players off. So that's the reason about Soul Calibur. It was a gorgeous game. I actually wished I was much better at it than anything else. Yeah. Soul Calibur is probably one of the games I toured around the most in Georgia playing.
So, yes, you did tour for that with Tekken and Soul Calibur, right?
I did Soul Calibur. I did mostly Soul Calibur, just trying to find out the different strategies that people use. I played Nightmare a lot, which Nightmare was a favorite. And although, as some people say, all you got to do is keep hitting B. B, and that kills them. But not necessarily. You have to switch up, because once you learn how to guard impact,
yeah,
that throws off everyone's game. You got to know how to recover. So
I've learned how to do.
There's been some intense matches going on, and the group that plays Soul Calibur is a different breed than most fighting games. I mean, they're usually more laid back. I mean, they'll talk jump to you, but they're not serious about the jump they're talking about.
No.
They come in about, you know, that was pretty good, and most of them. Since Soul Calibur is easy for anyone to pick up, most people who play Soul Calibur know how to play a little bit with everybody, just because it's that easy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, Soul Calibur is still one of my favorites. Had 2 copies, one on Dreamcast and one on the 360. So,
yeah.
And both of them look, they're extremely the same. I mean, gameplay-wise, they both play like the arcade.
Yeah.
Only thing different about the 360 version is you can tell they obviously enhanced it, so you can have HD. But other than that, it looks exactly the same.
It's arcade perfect on 360.
Yep.
As far as I know, it's arcade perfect on 360. I mean, I couldn't really tell the difference. I mean, I knew just because I'm playing on a different system, but it's arcade perfect pretty much. And, well, you can change the buttons to be Dreamcast setup or 360 setup. But then again, 360 is basically Dreamcast 2 anyway. Basically Dreamcast 2 anyway. So, moving on, we have Street Fighter Alpha 3. Now, both of us have played a lot of Alpha 3. We have. I played the PlayStation version the most. I love the PlayStation version because that's the one I started playing with. As a matter of fact, Street Fighter Alpha 3 was when I first got into Street Fighter. Like, seriously into Street Fighter, which is probably like the wrong game to get started with, but I loved Alpha 3. I loved the setup of Alpha 3. I liked the choices you can have in Alpha 3, and I liked the presentation of Alpha 3. So much so, I bought the $35 soundtrack. I imported and bought the $35 soundtrack, which cost a lot of money. So, I like Alpha 3 because I can play Alpha 3. And I don't play it like tournament capable, but I can play it. Like, I can play if I want to sit down and run against a couple of my friends or whatever. You know, I'm pretty good at that. But, I enjoy playing different characters too. And I still found that after 10 years, because I started playing Alpha 3, it was 2001, about 2 years after the game came out. Actually, yeah, it was about 2 years after the game came out. I remember playing, picking it up and playing it, and I got it for my birthday. I rented it, and I was like, let me try this, because I didn't like the first Alpha, and I didn't particularly like Alpha 2. But I played 3 and was just like, wow, I like this. It plays, it's not as heavy playing, it's more light. The controls are better for me. What do you like about Alpha 3?
Well, I originally started playing, when I start playing Street Fighter, like I said, I hated Street Fighter 2. But I started playing Street Fighter Alpha 2, me and Ted spent hours and hours. And before I actually started playing Street Fighter Alpha 2, we played the original Street Fighter Alpha. And that is because we played the Ken Ryu versus Bison, which we thought was a challenge. And sometimes it was, sometimes it wasn't. But Alpha 2 we played the most, and Alpha 3, we liked the fact that we had, that you can break someone's guard after, you know, given time. We also like, we love the Alpha Counter. We've always liked the Alpha Counter series. We like the fact that they did that. And I played it so much in the arcade, laundromat actually, and over Ted's house, that I became accustomed to it. I mean, it was a perfect fighting game. I mean, there were some glitches in there, but there's a few glitches you can use. There were times where going to tournaments, that you saw a lot of the same characters, but you also saw a lot of mixed characters because everything was so balanced.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I mean, when it comes to fighting games, I would say it's probably one of the best ones. I mean, the system, the fighting system it had was great. The AI, pretty much, at least on the Dreamcast, it seemed like the AI kind of balanced out to how you played your first couple matches if you're playing by yourself against arcade. The AI pretty much said that judged how you played the first couple matches, and then, you know, like the third or fourth one, tried to beef it up to your level. Try to figure it out and give you a challenge.
Yeah.
Storyline, I could really care less about, because I didn't care about the storyline at all.
Well, I paid attention to the storyline.
I didn't really care about the storyline at all, because most fighting games don't really need a storyline. You can thank Double Dragon for that. So, that being said, I only enjoyed certain characters that I like. I mean, there are characters like Sagat that I became a huge fan of in Alpha 2. And I played him to learn things. And Birdie, which I played a lot. I mean, and Alpha 3 actually is, you can use it as a learning platform for all the other Street Fighter games you want to play. That's the same moves that I have in Alpha 3 at some point in time. Even on the isms, there. I mean, they had the different moves. They had it, or will have those moves. So
yeah,
and those combos that you learn on Alpha 3 usually works on the rest of those games too. So Alpha 3 was just a really great game that way.
Yeah, I enjoyed Alpha 3 because I thought that it was pretty balanced, even though Gal sucks in this one. I enjoyed playing it. And we do have both versions. We actually have both versions in our collection. We have the PlayStation version and the Dreamcast version. I noted three things about it. In that, one, the graphics are a little more polished. There's something different going on there with the graphics. I haven't quite figured out what yet, but it's something going on. And also the load times are significantly cut from the PlayStation.
It's on a different system. PlayStation always had extremely long loading times.
Yes, it did. The music was, you could hear the music a little better because it had better sound processing than the PlayStation. And World Tour mode has been changed significantly. They've added more fights. There's more isms, and you can get more levels. So, I didn't particularly care for that change because I played a lot of World Tour mode, and I liked just how it was. I was pretty happy with how it was. But You guys play through World Tour mode a lot, you and Kaylin?
Me and Kaylin played against World Tour mode. Me and Ted played through World Tour mode on both versions, PlayStation version and Dreamcast version. Most of us, when I say most of us, I think Kaylin and Ted agreed that a World Tour mode and Alpha 3 gave more challenges. There's more challenges, and you can actually choose where you want to go.
You mean on Dreamcast?
On the Dreamcast one. You have more choices where you want to go. And then the ultimate fight,
that's ridiculous.
The ultimate fight, I mean, it basically challenged, you know, your knowledge, really, of the system of Alpha 3. No matter who you played, your ultimate fight was you had to fight against the team of Bison and Shin Akuma.
Super Bison, and yeah.
And, the Kaioken Bison, as we call it. And that right there enough, actually, when Kaylin told me about it, he's like, yeah, you got to fight against Bison and Akuma together in a team. I said, Kaioken Bison? He's like, yeah, Kaioken. Well, that right there is worth the price of trying to get this game, because you're never going to see that ever again. They're never going to put that together.
Yeah.
And, of course, they haven't.
Nope.
So, World Tour mode with all the different isms, so you can customize the character you want.
Yeah.
It does help out, and they allow you to play your customized character through the game or against people. The fact that you can have two people play together on teams doing dramatic battles, I enjoyed that. So, there was a lot of options and features that they had on that. It just made it a great game.
So, just sticking in the mode of Street Fighter, we're at Vampire Chronicles. Now, I got Vampire Chronicles first. I got it because a friend of mine that lives in Japan now sent it. He gave it to me for my birthday 1 year. And he was like, you'll love this because you love Vampire. You love that series. I was like, man, I like Night Warriors. And after that, I don't like that first game. That first game was ass. That first game was terrible. Like, it was almost unplayable. But I could see where they were trying to go with it. But I got Vampire Chronicles for my birthday on Dreamcast 1 year. And I love it. I love Vampire Chronicles. And if you haven't played it, it's like what they did was they put all of the characters who have ever appeared in any vampire game, which is Darkstalkers, I should tell you. This is Darkstalkers in America. Any every character that's ever appeared in Darkstalkers, put them in the game and put every game type there was and mashed it up together. So you could play Night Warriors Morrigan versus like Vampire Savior 2 Jetta. Okay. And make those kind of combinations. You could play all the way through like that. And it's pretty nice. I like that about it. It's like, and I have done it, it's like the Hyper Street Fighter Alpha found in the Street Fighter Alpha collection, which if you heard our Editor's Weekly podcast on gaming collections, or you've watched us play in game night for Street Fighter Alpha collection, you'll see what we're talking about. Eventually, we hope to do one on Vampire Chronicles, and I have reviewed Vampire Chronicles before. I don't remember which issue, but I've done it. I've actually reviewed it. It's very fun. I enjoy it because I enjoy playing everything after the first Vampire.
Well, I played the original Darkstalkers and everyone after that. I really couldn't play the second one. I loved it. I couldn't play it, but I was just... those who don't know, Ted King and I have been playing games for a long time. And usually when it came to fighting games, I was probably at Ted's house or Kaylin's house playing it. We played it the most of them.
He's a huge Vampire fan.
Ted is. Ted will play Lord Raptor like I've never seen Lord Raptor play before. And at the time I sat down and watched Ted play Lord Raptor, I had never seen Lord Raptor before.
Mm.
But the way he described it to me, he's like, Darkstalkers is an extremely fast version and high-pressure version of Street Fighter.
Street Fighter, yeah.
And which the first game was like that. Yeah, I mean, it was a high-pressure version of Street Fighter, which is probably the reason why a lot of people didn't like it. But in the second one, they came more of their own, and the combo system became more fluid.
Yeah.
And the fact that they gave you so many supers that you can do because you can build it up so fast was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, one of the things Ted always had, he said, I like to sit there and watch the demo screen. He said, because they get these supers and they're just leashing super after super. He said, if you watch the computer long enough, he said, they won't do the same things over and over. He said, you start seeing different combos come up.
Yep.
And you do. So Darkstalkers is a game that teaches you how to play it if you just watch it.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
I enjoy playing it a lot. I picked it up. I don't even remember when I picked it. I think I rented Darkstalkers 3 for PlayStation 1, which was terrible, but it's bad. That port was bad. But it introduced me to the series. Because I had heard of it before that. And I was like, oh, hey, I'll try this. And I liked Morgan, so I was like, I'll try Morgan. And I actually really liked the series. That was a bad introduction to the series, but I liked the series overall. I thought it was a very good series. And it's another one that Capcom really needs to do a sequel to. We really need another Darkstalkers game. If you can give me 4 Street Fighters, you know, and we got basically 6 Street Fighters. If you can give me 6 Street Fighters, can I please get another Vampire Chronicles or another Vampire game?
Because you have, well, the way they've done Darkstalkers before is it's pretty much on the same platform as whatever Street Fighter comes out. And the Street Fighter platforms they have now are kind of slow. So Darkstalkers wouldn't necessarily work that well on it.
That's true. That's true.
So I'm guessing that's the only reason why not.
Yeah, that's probably why they wouldn't do that. But people are wanting them. They talked about it, and the dude admitted who produced 4. He was like, yeah, I heard y'all want another Darkstalkers. I'd love to do another Darkstalkers, but, you know, it's up to Capcom whether or not they want us to do one. He had admitted that recently in an interview when they were talking about Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter 4. So I'm hoping, you know, maybe somebody will figure out how to do it and make that work. Because I would love to get another one. Same thing with another Rival Schools and Project Justice. But we ain't going to get another Project Justice. It ain't going to be another one of them. Because they don't think it does well here. And it doesn't. It's not one of their main branch things. But, you know, it's fun. And people play it. They like the game. It's just, I don't know. I don't know why they won't.
Because now it'll be compared to Soul Calibur.
You think so?
Yeah. That's what they're compared to now. Because it's 3D. You'll be able to move around. Because you have to think, as most Americans will play games, is they always compare it to something else.
Yes.
It'll be a Street Fighter. They'll say, it's a Street Fighter game. But, you know, it's kind of like Soul Calibur, where you can move around. It's 3D and everything. And that's exactly what people are going to compare it to.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason why they said that Street Fighter EX
didn't do so well
because, you know, there were already 3D games out, like Tekken and everything, and people have said that that's not Street Fighter.
Yeah.
So they start comparing to everything. It's like the Street Fighter version of Tekken. I heard someone describe that to me. I was like, it's not the Street Fighter version of Tekken. Only thing that's like Street Fighter is, only thing that's like Tekken is the fact that it's 3D. That's the only thing they have in common.
Yeah.
But I think that's the only thing that will throw people off.
Yeah.
Speaking of Street Fighter and crossover, we have Capcom versus SNK and Capcom versus SNK 2. I know you didn't particularly like those. I like them, though. I mean, I actually enjoy playing those. And I did for a long time. I enjoy playing them. I would go to the arcade and play them. Quite frequently. I've seen like one Capcom versus SNK 2 machine. And I've only really seen one Capcom versus SNK machine. But I've only seen one of two. And somebody had to import that. That was in Charlotte that I saw that. They're okay. I mean, if you like either series, you'll probably like the crossover games. The first two crossover games, because I should say, you ain't going to like SNK versus Capcom. I didn't like it. I tried it and I was like, this is terrible. It's like Fatal Fury, and I don't like Fatal Fury or King of Fighters that much. I don't. I mean, I like Mark of the Wolves. I like Garou Mark of the Wolves, but I don't like most King of Fighters games, because I just don't. I don't like the art style. It looks crappy. Which is one of my problems with Garou Mark of the Wolves. Like, if I don't like how the game looks, I'm not playing it. I can kind of get around that with Mark of the Wolves, just because I like certain SNK characters, but for the most part, I wasn't interested. But yeah, Capcom vs. SNK, if you like either company, you'll probably like these two games. And I like the presentation. I like how they did the presentation, and they played up the rivalry between both companies. You know, one of which doesn't even really exist in the same form anymore. And I love the art style of the guy who did the art style, who did the Capcom portraits in SNK style, now works for Capcom. Because, you know, he got laid off at SNK. I love that art style. And it's in different games. He did the art style for Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Well, the thing about Capcom vs. SNK and Capcom vs. SNK for me was, by this time, they'd hit me on the head so many times with versus games that I just got enough of it.
Yeah.
And had they did Capcom versus SNK and Capcom versus SNK 2 first,
yeah,
which would have made more sense to me, because at the time, they both really were like rivals.
Yeah.
Had they did that first, then I probably would have loved it. I really have. But by that time, I got tired of Capcom basically trying to milk every money they can out of everybody. You want this? You'll play this.
Yeah.
How about this right here? Oh, next year, here's another one. This is the best game you're ever going to... Oh, this is the best game you're going to ever play this year. So,
yeah.
By that time, that's the main reason. I mean, both of the games look great. And they did extremely well in tournament scenes, extremely well in arcades. But by that time, I had enough of versus games.
Yeah, I can understand that. I had the same kind of thing. I was like, well, I'm playing Capcom vs. SNK right now because, I mean, I'm playing versus games. But at that point, I had just gotten into playing versus games. So I could kind of play it and not have a problem with it. And I had been reading reviews and stuff, you know. But, oh, God, I got so sick of versus games. By the time the third one came, I was like, all right, stop. Come on, Capcom, stop milking this. This is ridiculous. You're getting into the Street Fighter 2 milking stage now. You need to stop. And stop exploiting SNK. You know they in trouble. Why y'all doing that mess?
Well, they're just trying to make them money. But it was making Capcom more money than anything else.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Speaking of making Capcom money, if y'all haven't noticed by now, this is the Capcom show. Because pretty much, and I've said this in the intro, pretty much just about every game on here is a Capcom game, with the exception of like maybe two. With the exception of like two, they're all Capcom games. Well, three. They're all Capcom games because Capcom fully supported the system. They saw the beauty in supporting the Dreamcast. Despite Sega's craziness, because Sega Japan did some crazy stuff back in the day. Like, they were just crazy. They just rushed systems out, do all kind of ridiculous stuff. So, I think now Sega US Sega's version is like, okay, look, Sega Japan, y'all screwed us over, so we don't really pay you a whole lot of attention. You can release stuff in Japan if you want to, but, you know, we're independent operating arm. We no longer listen to you because you screwed us over and got us out of the hardware business. So, I mean, anyway, Capcom was a very big supporter of them. EA was not. And some of them say that's the reason why the Dreamcast failed anyway. That was part of the reason, aside from Sony being ridiculous and making all these claims that they never even, like, followed up on. But anyway, speaking of Capcom making money, Project Justice. They didn't make a whole lot of money off of Project Justice and Rival Schools, but let me tell you something. I love me some Project Justice. I can play Project Justice and Rival Schools all day long. I love Project Justice. It's one of my favorite games. I like the presentation. I like how they refine the character models from Rival Schools. And I love Rival Schools. It's one of my favorite games ever. Because it's just weird enough. It's just weird enough and Japanese enough that it would appeal to someone like me. You know, who loves fighting games. And I like stuff of Japanese origin. And, you know, like I can sit down and play Rival Schools. And it's easy to pick up and learn. I learned it pretty easily playing Rival Schools. So when Project Justice came out, I picked it up and played it pretty well, too.
Well, Project Justice, I played Project Justice a lot. The problem I had with Project Justice was it didn't seem, compared to Rival Schools, it didn't seem to be that balanced.
Yeah, no.
There are a few characters that you could play. You know, you can do these extremely damaging combos extremely quick to kill someone off. While Rival Schools, it was more of jockeying for positions. Everyone was pretty much balanced, you know, versus supers and everything, but you had to link everything together. There seemed to be more of a strategic balance and playability balance on Rival Schools versus Project Justice.
Yeah.
Project Justice, you pick a certain character, you start off with the combo, the match is pretty much over.
Yeah.
So
you could roll with that, like, easily through the game.
I mean, even with the tournaments and everything, I mean, there are people who played, yeah. There were people who played different characters, but mostly at the end, you've seen the same ones. You've seen the same ones over and over. So that's how you can really tell if the game's very balanced or not. When it gets down to you're getting close to the last brackets and everything, and you got like 8 people left, and all 8 people are playing the same person, that's how you realize that, you know, this game's not really balanced.
Now, I played a lot of Hideo, and I know a lot of people who play the game who play Hideo a lot. He's a very popular character because he's basically the Ryu of the game. They would love for you to think that Batsu is, but not really. It's Hideo. I enjoy playing Hideo. I mean, I really do. He does a lot of damage. That one, his uppercut combo, super combo, does a lot of damage. Especially, and you can link it from like everything in the game. Just about everything in his moveset, you can link from it. So yeah, I actually like it, but I take that back. I've seen Project Justice in an arcade cabinet once. I once said it was Project Justice. Once. Same place I saw the Capcom vs. SNK2 in the machine. And that is the only place I've ever seen it. My friend that lives in Japan, who coincidentally also gave me this game, said he was in Chicago and played it. And that's where he saw it. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know they put it in a machine. That's weird. But I guess in Japan it was in a machine before it came home. So, getting off of the Capcom gravy train there for a minute, we've got 2 games left to talk about that are non-Capcom titles. One of which you've heard us talk about a little bit is Fatal Fury Mark of the Wolves, which I love Fatal Fury Mark of the Wolves. It's really, and I don't even like SNK games, but I can play this. I can actually play this. And it's the last one for them for Fatal Fury. And there's like no real characters in it from previous things. Like Rock is the main character. Rock Howard is the main character in this. I really, really, really like it. Because it tries to be a little different than what they were used to. And I like Rock Howard, who is affectionately named Ace. Del Marco came up with his name in Capcom vs. SNK2. Because, you know, we had our custom characters. One of which was Yuri No Panties. I'm sorry, yeah. Yeah, Yuri Panties question mark. And Cammy, who had no... And she was naked Cammy. She had no clothes on. and Ace was their gentleman on the street. So he had his team that he liked to play with all the time, and so that's, every time I see Rock Howard now, that's the first thing I think of. That and Geese, when he comes out, he's like, Geese. That is hilarious. when you play Capcom versus SNK 1. But Fatal Fury Mark of the Wolves, it's actually not a bad game. If you like SNK stuff, you will like this game. Like, if you play SNK Fighters all the time, you'll like this. Like, it's not a bad game at all. And what gets me is, like, the artwork is gorgeous. Like, the actual artwork is gorgeous. But damn if you don't get in the game and it's terrible. Like, the actual backgrounds and stuff are terrible. Like, I don't understand that. The same thing with Samurai Spirit 6, I think that is. That 6 that we had? Yeah, like, gorgeous. That one is better, though. That's actually slightly better. It's gorgeous. Got gorgeous artwork and stuff. But some of the stuff just looks terrible. Like, like the backgrounds and stuff. The backgrounds look really good in Samurai Spirit 6. But, like, some of the character models leave a lot to be desired. And it's the same thing about this one, Fatal Fury Mark of the Wolves. Like, some of the artwork, the backgrounds and stuff look great, but the character models look like crap. And I'm not one that really places a whole lot of emphasis on graphics. I'm not. I mean, I like looking at stuff, but I'm not going to not play a game because it's, like, got terrible models and stuff. It need to look like something, though. Now, if it don't look like nothing, I'm not playing the game. At all. Like, if I can't stand to sit there and look at the graphics, then I'm not playing it. At all. But if it's at least trying, which Fatal Fury does try, I'll give it that, it does try, then I can sit down and play it. And I actually do play this from time to time.
Well, I didn't play Mark of the Wolves that much. I love SNK games. I always have. And ever since Samurai Showdown, where you had in a little arcade cabinet where you had to choose which game you wanted to play.
Yeah.
I mean,
they had them in Pizza Huts.
Yeah, I mean, I love SNK games. I love the art style. I hated how they did the supers. It always made me angry.
But the supers were, like, terrible, but, like, the motions for them and
but
stuff.
It was okay because I eventually adapted to it. I started playing a lot of King of Fighters, which was my absolute favorite series that they had. And Terry Bogard in particular, because, you know, how many other people, you know, are going to ask you, are you okay, before they decide to beat the crap out of you?
Are you okay?
So, when it comes to graphics on fighting games, though, depending on the era, SNK hands down was
yeah,
on tops. I mean, everything looks like it was beautifully hand-drawn. The detail from Samurai Showdown, where you can actually see the people's feet moving up and down as they're moving, instead of it looks like they're just feet just pounding the ground. I mean, they leaned into their, I mean, the detail they did in it was great.
Yeah.
So when they did Capcom versus SNK, I expected that too. And
Capcom got the best deal out of that.
But the thing, again, the thing about Capcom versus SNK was, they beat me on the head already too many times with versus games, so I just couldn't care.
Yeah. Well, Capcom got the best deal out of that. SNK got the raw deal out of that. I wasn't surprised. I was not surprised at all. But, I mean, I highly recommend Mark of the Wolves. I do. I highly recommend it if you like SNK stuff. I mean, you really got to like it, though. And our last game, and we're going to talk about, that's also not on that Capcom gravy train, is Guilty Gear X. And I love me some Guilty Gear X. Jamie also gave me Guilty Gear X. I love them. It is one of the best fighting games I have ever played. Now, supers take a bit much to get used to, but it's from Sammy, which is now Sammy Sega. Guilty Gear X did not come out in America, if you'll notice in our review thing here, that it did not come out in America. It's an import title. It came out in America, I should say. It didn't come out in America on Dreamcast. It came out in America on PlayStation 2. But I prefer the Dreamcast version I'm not quite sure why. I think they did something to it. And same thing with Capcom vs. SNK 2. They did something to it in the translation, and I didn't like how they did it. So, I prefer the Dreamcast version of it, and that's why we picked it for this list. What I like about Guilty Gear is it's very, very fast-paced. And Jamie and I could have, my friend Jamie from Japan, and I could have some fast-paced matches constantly. He played Chip Zanuff, and I played Milia Rage and Venom all the time. And I like to play Johnny. I did like to play Johnny a little bit. And I played Testament and Dizzy, now that I think about it. Once I got Testament and Dizzy, you know, able to play and whatever, I did like to play them a lot. I enjoy playing Guilty Gear because of the fast-pacedness of it.
We played Guilty Gear a lot because of the high pressure. We always wanted to change the price. The high pressure system. I mainly played Soul Bad Guy. He had a badass name. I'm the Soul Bad Guy. I mean, what else are you gonna do? Kaylin and I played many times. I watched Kaylin play a lot.
Y'all played the original Guilty Gear or Guilty Gear X?
We played Guilty Gear X.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I watched a friend of mine's, Lance, who also loved to play Guilty Gear. Him and Kaylin used to go back and forth. I couldn't touch either one of them, but they used to go back and forth on there. So, Guilty Gear is high pressure. Poke.
Yes.
Strategy.
Poking game, yes.
If you think you can actually hit someone with it, or you don't know if you can hit someone with it, you still do it. It was great. And the supers that they have are ridiculous. I mean, yeah. Some of the most hilarious things ever. Things that look like they can destroy the world. I mean, instant kills.
Yeah. The
gameplay was pretty good. So, Guilty Gear, if you like high pressure stuff, I recommend that. And if you like metal music. If you like metal and rock, I would definitely suggest that. Anything with guitar riffs, guitar solos, and everything, yeah, that's the game you want to play.
Yeah. I played a lot of it, and I had the soundtrack for a while somewhere. Somebody gave me the soundtrack. It was a group that used to play out of Greenville, South Carolina, all the time that we know. Professor Lester, if you're listening, miss you, dude. They used to get together all the time and play Guilty Gear. I mean, they held gatherings constantly to play Guilty Gear on Friday nights. But I never went because I didn't live anywhere near them. I lived an hour and something away, so, and I had school and stuff, so I couldn't go, but, I developed an appreciation for Guilty Gear, just because it's very fast paced. I had never even heard of Guilty Gear until, my friend Jamie told me about it, and he was like, "You should play Guilty Gear. How dare you? You don't know anything about it." I was like, "Jamie, I don't got no Guilty Gear." So he was like, "Here, play this." So he gave me a copy of it, and I was like, "Oh, okay." So I played it, and I was like, "Wow, I like this game." I like this game. It is very fast-paced and very, very, very fun. Very fun. It's very high pressure, though. You gotta know what you're doing. I mean, you can button mash and whatever, but you really kind of need to know what you're doing. It's set up so that novices can get in, but you're gonna need to upgrade your play before you call yourself really playing the game. And so I think probably now, even if Jamie and I picked it up again, if Jamie came home and we picked it up again, I would probably I probably get my ass kicked, but he plays it a lot. So, I mean, he lives there, and it's still pretty huge there. Even the first two games are still huge there. So, I probably would not win a lot, but I would enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And Guilty Gear is a beautiful game to watch. Watch people play and watch people. The combos are ridiculous. And the best thing, the best thing I always liked was there's no versus things whatsoever. So because they start doing versus games with Guilty Gear, that's going to completely throw everything off. So no versus, high pressure, lost some music, rock music at that, and you like guitar, upbeat guitar music. I mean, it's great combinations when it comes to versus games. Or if you're having one of those, you know, lazy, I just feel like beating something up, you know, days. I mean, Guilty Gear is perfect for it.
Yeah. Yeah, Dizzy, though, at the end, Dizzy will frustrate you. She'll frustrate you because she has a super that even if you block, it does a ton of chip damage. If you don't block it, it's going to hit you anyway. So I try to kill her before she can even get the damn super off. She'll frustrate you. But we have gotten to the last part of our podcast here. While you're sitting up and playing all these games, you need something to play it with. And, I mean, I have several tools that I recommend for playing these things. And it's several tools that we also use for Dreamcast that come highly recommended to play these things if you're actually on a real Dreamcast. First thing first, you need to get an official Dreamcast joystick, a.k.a. a Green Goblin. These sticks come at a premium. They were released and then Sega stopped supporting it for some odd reason. I don't know, maybe because they knew they were going to get out of the console business. But I got my stick. I wanted it in an eBay auction in 2004. I had to bid $75 to get it. This stick is one of the best sticks ever made to play fighting games with. It was. And I'm so mad that they just put it out of production.
Well, the Green Goblin is good for fighting games, mainly for Capcom fighters if you got a Dreamcast, because it's arcade perfect. You know, all the arcade games that Capcom had it where you had to use six buttons.
Yep.
So this is set up perfectly for it. You don't have to change anything. All you need is a VMU to put in to load your game up or save your game.
Yep. That's the other thing, too. Also, you need a VMU. If you're going to be doing all this stuff, you need to save. Because some of these games, it's a lot of collection stuff in it. And, like, especially with, like, MVC2, you're unlocking characters. You got to save that. You need to be able to unlock the full roster, you know. So, I mean, VMUs come highly recommended. I mean, they're cheap now. You can get it for $1. I remember when they were 25, you know. They cost so much. But, yeah, that Green Goblin is one of the best sticks I ever made. I was very happy with my purchase. And I use it from time to time. I don't use it as much now. But I use it from time to time. The other thing I use is a Quantum Fighting Pad, which is bulky and it's shaped like a boomerang and it's kind of crazy looking, but it's the way I play MVC 2. I mean, it's like MVC and MVC 2. It's the only way that I can really play those. Because I can't really use the Green Goblin for those. Even though that's what it's made for. Like, I can't really use the Green Goblin for those. I wish I could, but I can't. I mean, I feel more comfortable using this pad. And I set up my buttons and stuff for it. But it's not bad. It's decent. I found them online. I ordered like two of them because I can't find one. I had two of them break before that. So I just went ahead. Once I found them online, I ordered two. But they're decent pads. They're decent. The D-pad leaves a lot to be desired, though. I can use it, but I know other people who've said, God, how are you using this D-pad? So.
Oh, I never used that controller at all. Because I either use the default control on Marvel vs. Capcom 2, which I trained myself on. Mainly because when I bought my Dreamcast and I had Marvel vs. Capcom 2, I didn't go out and buy anything else. Because, I mean, the Green Goblin was pretty much non-existent. Hard to find at that time.
Yeah.
And it really was, I didn't necessarily need a six-button controller to play it. So I just used the default one. Now I play that much better on Marvel vs. Capcom 2. But, that being said, on Street Fighter Alpha 3, Marvel vs. Capcom, Vampire Chronicles, I'll use the Green Goblin all day long.
Yeah.
But I do know that I did have a fighting pad at one point in time, and I used to use it to I used to use it to set up so I can have turbo options set on. So I can do Chun-Li's kick really quick. So that's the only reason.
I mean, it has turbo option. You can do turbo on this quantum fighting pad, but I don't use it for that, though. I use it to do the 6 buttons for MVC, and I can program it to be 2-punch and 2-kick. That's what I need, because otherwise I can't do the 2-punch and 2-kick unless I play on the Green Goblin. So I prefer that, especially for games where you use 2-punch, 2-kick, and not double motion. If it's double motion, I don't fool with that. I don't use that fighting pad for that. Which leads me to the next thing, is the innovation Dreamcast to PlayStation 2 joypad converter. Now, I'm going to tell you people, that is extremely hard to find now. It is extremely hard to find the joypad converter, because it's out of print. It's out of production. They don't even make it anymore. I found them years ago in a GameStop, and I bought 2 of them. And I was like, I need these, and I should probably buy them right now. And they have served me well for the past 10 years. I hook up my PlayStation 2 controller to them, or even my PlayStation 1 controller to them, and then I hook them up to the Dreamcast. And, because I like the PlayStation 2's joypad, and I actually can use that to play Street Fighter games, and just like I can use the PlayStation 1 joypad for it. So I use those, and I found that they work pretty well, and you can hook up, I discovered this way later, that you can hook up a Serial Bus keyboard to it. So, like, if you got an old keyboard, and say you want to use it for, like, Typing of the Dead, you can hook up the keyboard to it and use it. And it works for pretty much all of the old keyboards. And this was before I bought my official Dreamcast keyboard. So, I thought that was pretty nice about it. I use it with Capcom versus SNK, Capcom versus SNK 2, because these all involve like double motions or whatever, I think. Street Fighter 3, Third Strike, Soul Calibur, Super Street Fighter 2 X, and Vampire Chronicles. I use it for that, and I have 2 of them, so it's helpful. I don't even know. As a matter of fact, Innovation is not even in business anymore. I think Mad Catz bought them or something. So they're extremely hard to find. But, I mean, if you can find them online, the best place to go is probably like Amazon, maybe. I would go to Amazon and try to find it, because that's where I found my Quantum Fighter Pad. But, I mean, if you can find them and you want to use them for certain things, they're excellent. I highly recommend those for use. Moving on, the other 2 things that we have are, you can use import stuff with these, such as, and they are the DCX and the GameShark. Now, we've chronicled all these, I should mention this now, we've chronicled all these in our 2nd issue of the reboot era of Gaming Insurrection. We chronicled them in the utility section of the 2nd issue, where we talked about what you should use and what games you should be playing. Now, here, you need to get a DCX and you need to get a GameShark. That's the only way you're going to play some of these games on this list.
Oh, yeah, you definitely need that to play all the import games that you want to get in. Whether you're in Japan and you want to play some import games of America, which I'm not really sure what games you want to do, or you want to get those nice import games such as, you know, that game I hate, Super Street Fighter 2 X.
I mean, I have found that both of them work. I managed to get I ordered a DCX way after I got a GameShark. I got GameShark when I got my Dreamcast shortly thereafter. And I didn't even realize I could boot up import games with it. Until I tried it for, I don't even know what I was trying it for. It was for something. I want to say it was Super Street Fighter 2X. When I got it, it was years after I got my Game Shark. But I like being able to use the codes sometimes. And sometimes I'll just use it to boot it up. But DCX is strictly for booting. I mean, you can't really put in codes with it. The DCX is actually the best thing you can use. And I have not had the DCX fail. Ever. I've never had it fail with any of my import games. And I do have some other imports besides fighting games. Like I have Dance Dance Revolution, Club Version, and Second Mix on Dreamcast. They're terrible games, but I imported them. And I've had them work with the DCX, no problem. I mean, it works really well. That too, I used to go to, gosh, what's the place? Well, I bought my DCX, I think I got it from PlayAsia, which is one of our affiliates. Definitely look us up through PlayAsia. Go to our website and buy games through us on PlayAsia, for PlayAsia, because we like to help them as much as we can because we're an affiliate. But I got it through PlayAsia, and they're pretty good. And I got it years ago. But the Game Shark I bought, I want to say I bought it from GameStop ages ago. Actually, I bought it from EB Games before they became GameStop. But, I mean, both of those, you could use either one. But, I mean, certain games I use the Game Shark for, like if I want to use codes, I just want to play around or whatever. I want a juggernaut through something. Notice I use juggernaut as a verb. and the DCX I use if I just want to boot up a import game.
Well, you got to use those codes and everything when you want to unlock all those characters that you have. You don't feel like going through to do.
And yes, MVC2. We talking about you, especially if you got a save that you lost and you gotta get one real fast. That's the easiest way to do it.
Right. And you can use either or, I mean, to help out on those games that are most annoying, like when you want to, you got Vampire Chronicles, and maybe you want to add some codes in there, you know, and make things a little easier for you if they were on the Game Shark. I don't think they were.
No, they weren't.
But I do know that Street Fighter 2, Super Street Fighter 2X
has
is on there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going down limited super. Or the fact that you don't want to take any hit point damage. I mean, that helps out, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, you can unlock the debug code. It helps to unlock the debug code. And I'm sorry, I spoke wrong. It is the first quarter 2008 issue that we did. The Dreamcast issue. Because our first issue was actually like 2007 of the reboot. So, sir, what do you think about Dreamcast fighting games?
Mostly nothing but Capcom. But I played a lot of them. I think, actually, during the time that Dreamcast was extremely popular, which it still is, I played more fighting games on that system than I did anything else. Probably more than I even did at arcade. So, but the best thing about it was the games that you played on the Dreamcast or arcade, that were also arcade platforms, can help you with your timing or any skills that you might need so when you go off the tournaments. Because tournaments were big during that time, too. So,
yep.
That's the main thing I can say about those Dreamcast fighting games. Definitely you get your practice in for free at home once you bought the game.
Yep.
And then you can go off and, you know, show your skills later on. And hopefully still save money while doing it.
Yes, I like playing them because I had a lot of fun playing and practicing for tournaments. That's how I practiced. I managed to buy most of the games, and I actually enjoy most all of the fighting games I picked on this list for this feature. I enjoy all of them, you know, in some way, shape, or form. I enjoy playing them. It's one of the better systems for fighting games they ever made. I mean, I can't think of another system that really that really pushed, you know, fighting games like that. You know, I really can't other than Dreamcast. Maybe PlayStation 2, but Sony was, oh, we don't want two D players on our system. So a lot of this stuff should have come out on PS2. It really should have.
It wouldn't have been the same.
Yeah, no, it, some of it did, but not all of it. Eventually some of it did, but I mean, it just wasn't well done. Like, you will not see Soul Calibur, the first Soul Calibur, on PS1. Not happening. Like, hell, they didn't even come out on, it didn't even come out on PS2. It wasn't until Soul Calibur 2 that it even bothered to come out on PS2. You know? And then they kept trying to force Heihachi as a, as a PlayStation candidate. I'm like, no! Heihachi is not a Sony character. He is a Namco character. He is Namco. That does not equal Sony.
But at the same time, Tekken was huge on Sony, so that's, yes, that it makes sense. Because they couldn't really say, you know, Yoshimitsu, because Yoshimitsu was on both of them anyway. So Heihachi, yeah, had been, that was the only one they could use it. Out of the Tekken series, Heihachi was more popular by face.
Yes.
So I can understand them use that. They put anyone else up there, no one else would have had any idea who it was except for Tekken players.
Yeah.
So I can understand that. Just why, just the reason why I know that on the GameCube version they had Link.
Well, Link is, yeah. Link is,
Link was well known.
Yeah, I would expect Link to be in Soul Calibur.
But yeah. I was still confused by the Xbox version having Spawn, which I know Spawn was a launch title and everything, and they were trying to push him, but
he's green and black.
He shouldn't have.
He was green and black.
He shouldn't have been. He shouldn't. They could have picked someone else.
I don't know who else they're gonna put in there. Master Chief.
They could have. I mean, they could have put a fighting version of a Spartan in there.
I guess they did later on in Dead or Alive, but
I mean, but different. They could have did that. By the time they were thinking about pushing Spawn, and Spawn would have been a great game, except they released Spawn. And the things that they said they were going to do with Spawn wasn't necessarily the same as what happened on the finished product, so.
Yeah. That's true, I guess. Well, thanks you guys for listening. We're wrapping this up for the Features Podcast for second quarter 2011, Dreamcast Fighting Games. Read the companion piece in our issue once this launches, and that will be April the 2nd or 3rd. Probably April 3rd. And you can see what we're talking about and, you know, read exactly what we thought about the games. And you'll probably be listening to this podcast at that time, too. So definitely read the companion piece. Let us know what you think. Hit us up at our email. You can always email me at editor@gaminginsurrection.com or hit us up on Twitter. We're at gaminginsurrect. And that's, you know, insurrect without the I-O-N on it. Just search for us on Twitter and let us know what you think. You can easily find us on there. And chances are you've probably found our website if you're listening to this. So, you know, let us know. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you real soon.